All right. Well, my name is AJ, and I do a number of things here at Lifehouse, but mostly I worship here with my family, which is my favorite part. So we lead a Back to Life ministry, as well as some other things as far as the church is clean because my wife does it, and you find a seat because I asked folks to get you there, I guess. So that job's become a little harder in one big building, so we do a number of things. And so I know some of you know me. And for those of you that don't know me but think you know me, this is not my favorite thing to do. I am very nervous. I have a real level of insecurity that you might not know just by looking at my pants, but I do. And so when Pastor Drew came to me a couple of weeks ago and asked me to speak on First Wednesday, I knew as soon as that insecure feeling kind of kicked in, I knew exactly what I wanted to speak about. And it's a verse that impacted me about 2.5 years ago in a leadership situation that I was in and has really changed my life over the last 2.5 years. And I want to share that with you a little bit. And so for those of you that know what I do, I am in kind of upper management leadership levels at a family entertainment company. And so I look over a number of different centers. But before that, I was just a general manager inside of one of them. And 2.5 years ago, my boss changed. And the boss I had was a mentor of mine, someone that really, you know, changed the way that I lead people, and I was kind of the golden boy in his region, so I could do no wrong. I was winning all the things. I was being recognized for all the stuff, and so then he gets promoted, and a new boss comes in, and I knew who this guy was, but I had not worked with him in a boss and, you know, subordinate relationship or whatnot, but I kind of assumed everything would be the same. And I thought very highly of him, so I was excited to learn and kind of grow in that leadership. And so one of our very first leadership meetings that we had with all the other GMs, we get together, and he calls me that morning and asks me if I would take a segment of our meeting and talk through this system that we have in our buildings, right? It's a system for providing service to our guests. It's the way we manage everything and the way we kind of schedule it and plan it and move about this chaos that we work in. And I just kind of said, yeah, sure, I'll talk about it, not a problem. We'll be there in a couple hours, I'll talk about it, and that was kind of the end of it. To be honest with you, in my young leadership, I was pretty cocky about it. I didn't look at anything, I didn't prepare anything. I just thought, I do this every day, I can go in there and talk about it, not a problem. So we go into this meeting, and it gets to the part where he wants me to talk through this system, he starts popping up slides that I was totally unaware were going to pop up or what they were or what they meant. That threw me off a little bit, and so I kind of reverted into this insecure complaining about the system itself, right? What didn't work, what was difficult for us in our buildings, what they don't understand, what, right? All these different things about this system. Now, a key to this whole story is this guy created that entire system before he got into this role and trained the whole company on how to do it. So that was his job prior to being in this role. And so, but it just kind of is how it started coming out as I got a little distracted and confused looking at the slides. And so I said the things that I said. I kind of threw out some excuses and some different reasons why it was a struggle. And then I sat down. He then proceeded to just obliterate me without saying my name in front of everyone, right? Like, just, you know, I'm not, you know, just, I did not, I don't ask somebody for excuses. I'm just blew me up, right? Didn't say my name, didn't point at me, didn't even look at me really, but we all knew because later in the car, the other managers were like, dude, he is so mad at you. I was like, yeah, it's not really something that I've experienced, right? And I was on an upward trajectory in this company, and honestly, my extreme level of insecurity just kicked in. And even having had a conversation with him to just kind of clear up, like, hey, I didn't feel well prepared, but also I kind of just thought I could wing it and it didn't work, just all these different things, right? Even though all that had happened, I just couldn't shake the insecurity that I had just like ruined my relationship with this guy or ruined my career or set it back or all these things. I mean, just spiraling in my head through these insecurities. And so I get back to the hotel room that night and I start praying. And I basically said, I can't feel like this. So I've got to, I got to go to the only one at this juncture that I think can help me with this, because I'm not talking myself out of this, right? And so I start praying, and I decide that I'm going to open up the Bible and just start reading until I get an answer. And so I go to Timothy. So I go to 1 Timothy is where I start. Essentially, I thought to myself, I'm pretty sure this is a book to a leader, so maybe there'll be some leadership stuff in there, so let's go check it out. And so so I start reading, and then I get to 2 Timothy. And in the very first chapter there, I get a verse, and God is clearly speaking to me through it. And it really doesn't just change my thoughts in that moment of insecurity, but going forward in so many things I've had to do over the last couple of years that have been very difficult for me, hard to do, challenging, and things that would have sparked all those insecurities. Through this verse, God really got me through those things. And so it's in 2 Timothy. It's chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 5, but that's just to give a little context. We're actually going to be at verse 7, which I know many of you have probably heard before once we get there. So we'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. It says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. I want to say there really quick about that. Hey, make your faith obvious in your home, right? It works. It matters. If you make faith in your house a church thing and not a Jesus thing, you're setting your kids up for failure, because that's what they're going to see. Right? The first model of faith and Jesus to our kids and to these young people that are here is us. And if it's just a weekly task rather than part of who we are, our kids are well aware, right? And I will even say this, and this is not something that's on here and it's very challenging to say, but it's in light of something that happened today. And so I was sitting in the dining room studying for this. And my daughter comes running in from what she had done, and she goes, hey, where's daddy? That's not something she generally is like, hey, I'm home. I want to see my dad, right? She's 18. She's doing her thing, whatever. Okay. And Julie goes, hey, he's in the dining room. He's very nervous and studying. Leave him alone, right? But I heard it and thought it was odd. So I was like, Peyton? She's like, oh, yeah. What did you just ask where I was? And she's like, yes. So she comes back there, and she goes, yeah, hey, I just wanted to give you a hug because I'm really glad that you're my dad and that you are here. And in light of something that has happened in our community in the last 24 hours, there's a group of children that do not have their father figure in their home right now. And she had just gotten done visiting them because she knows the young lady, and telling me that the worst part was that there's an even younger child that doesn't understand where dad is right now and just wants to know when dad's coming home. And so that challenged me so much as I'm reading through this, and as as that moment comes from my daughter, to say to the dads, and I mean this in an encouraging way, and it challenged me as well, but dads, you need to take this faith lead in your house. Quit being proud of yourself for coming to church with them on Sunday morning and start leading your house, because you don't know what might happen, and you need to be there for every moment that you can. And I get it. I work a job that's nuts, like crazy, okay? There's tons of ways to connect with your children now, and I just make your faith obvious, dads, in your house. Not just here on Sunday morning. It is so important, and you don't realize it until your 18-year-old daughter is leading you in worship and thanking you for just being here. So, verse 6. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Isn't it awesome that we don't just get Jesus, but we get exactly who we are and what we're meant to be when we enter into that relationship? And you'll see here in a moment that as he's talking to Timothy, we get to see that he understands a little bit of how Timothy is and who he is, but then also what he's meant to be in Christ. And we see that in verse 7. And so verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." And so that's the verse I want to share with you really quick and speak for just a moment. I'll try and go quickly, but I want to make sure that, again, that you all understand where my heart is on this, that you leave here confident in what you are and not buying in to that spirit that is not of the Lord. And so quick little Timothy history lesson, just so that you know. There is 1st and 2nd Timothy. Those are letters from Paul to Timothy, all right? So Timothy, a young man, kind of an outcast. His dad was a Greek. His mother was a Jew. So he wasn't like Greeky enough to be with the Greeks, but he wasn't really Jewish enough to be with the Jews either. So as a young kid, quite an outcast, right? And so he sees Paul preach one day in his town and realizes that is what I am called to do. That's what I am supposed to be doing. And starts down that journey and that path of doing that. And then Paul returns sometime later, hears about him, and basically goes, "Well, yeah, come on. This is clearly what you're called to do. Come with me and let's go." He goes with Paul as Paul mentors him in kind of a protege role and goes across to all the churches that Paul has planted and helps him with that. A lot of times, even being the guy that when a church was struggling, he would send Timothy there to kind of help him out, right? So they're traveling around. They're going to all these different churches. They eventually get to the church in Ephesus, and they realize this one's a real problem, not one like you're basically, Timothy, I think you're going to need to hang out here for a little while and work on this while I go and visit these other churches. You've had enough time. You've had enough mentoring. You can stay here and handle this. And so Timothy stays and leads that Ephesian church that has issues, has a lot of immature leadership in place that are doing some of the wrong things. And so he stays there and is working on that church. And so over the next couple of years, basically, Paul writes these two different letters. One of them is just to kind of encourage him as the leader of this Ephesian church, and that's 1 Timothy. And then the second one is actually Paul in prison kind of knowing, I don't think I'm going to get out of this one, right? Like, is this probably the end of this? And it's time for Timothy to kind of take this ministry over and this mission over that he's had and kind of go through that. And so that's a big job for a young leader like Timothy, and one that I'm sure brought out many of the insecurities in Timothy. Insecurities that luckily Paul knew about because Paul spent time with him and saw those things, right? And then also luckily for Timothy, he had this amazing foundation of faith that he had built over time in just studying and in his training with Paul. And so so Paul is in prison writing this second letter to Timothy as someone who like truly gets who he is, why he is the way he is, what he's going to think, right? I can't sit here and tell you what Paul's thinking in prison, but I imagine he's sitting there going, all right, this is going to freak this guy out. He's still young. He's still insecure. He's still a little nervous. This young leader is going to think he's not quite ready for some of these things when I say them to him, right? I imagine that Timothy is just sitting there as this young leader of a church and all of the things that come up, wondering if he's handling them right, if he's handling them well, right? Like he's just sitting there, and he probably gets like an email after his Sunday message saying how terrible it was and that he wishes that he had stayed in context or something, right? Or maybe as a young leader of a church, he has a whole building where the trusses fall apart and he's got to move the whole thing over here. And is he doing it right? Is he making the right decision? Is he going the right direction, right? Maybe someone lets him know after his message that he took a verse out of context. Or maybe he's like having to lead the Ephesian church through a global pandemic or something. I don't know if that happened back then. Who knows, right? But there's all of these different things that could come along for a young leader. Maybe somebody tells him his message is too long, or he said, "Are you all right?" too many times, right? All of these pressures that young leaders have. And Paul wants him to know, be confident in what I called you to do. Be confident in what God called you to do. Be confident in the ministry you have given, the mission you have been given, and be confident in who you are in God, in all of those things, right? And he knows that that is going to be somewhat the mindset of Timothy. And so he writes him this letter, but he decides right from the jump, let me go ahead and get this out of the way of this spirit of insecurity or anxiety that he might have. Let me knock that out, right? So he starts with addressing that. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, right? So in other words, like a good husband would say to their wife when they're in a bit of a tough situation, relax, okay? Relax, right? Okay. But obviously, he wants to go ahead and break that wall of fear down, right? And when we talk about fear, it's not... There's a lot of different things that fear can mean. This isn't like a reverent fear, right? This isn't like a fear of God, right? Like in Psalms, it tells us, you know, let all the earth fear the Lord. That's not what this is. That's not even, like, fear of God is a great thing. I would recommend if you've not read a book called The Awe of God, you do that because it talks about the fear of God. Because the fear of God is not really a being afraid of him. It's more of a being afraid of being away from him. It's an awe of him, right? And so it's not that kind of a fear, right? And it's not really a fear of, like, logical things we should be scared of, like heights or snakes or the effects of an entire box of Christmas tree cakes on our body, things like that, right? Those are legitimate fears in our life. It's not really that either. This fear is more of a fear of or a stress or an anxiety or an insecurity or something that might be going on in the moment that make somebody feel unsure, right? That is the fear that he is talking about here, right? And look, I want to address something real quick about kind of the stress, anxiety, insecurity things, some of that. Look, those are real things. Those are real life issues that I feel sometimes unintentionally from leaders and even on platforms just like this, you can feel like that issue is being minimized or simplified by the things that are being said, right? And I want you to know, and I want you to be encouraged, and I'm confident in saying that our pastor and all the leaders of this church believe that this is a real issue and a real thing you are going to. We don't want to minimize that issue. Instead, we want to maximize God's impact on it. And that is what happens in those situations. So he's the only healer of those kinds of issues. You can get support. You can have medicine. You can go to therapy. You can have close friends that you could talk to about it. And I encourage you to do all of that. But the true freedom from fear, stress, insecurity, anxiety, worry, all of those things is the spirit in you that was given to us from God. And that is what he is trying to get across to Timothy at the beginning of this letter. This message isn't necessarily about the anxiety or the fear or the insecurity specifically, but it does need to be understood that to get what God has for you in your life, that is a real battle that you're going to have to give to the Lord. And it's not a one-time deal. You're going to have to do it over and over again, right? And that's made obvious by the fact that Paul's addressing it to Timothy. Clearly, it's something he saw enough that he knew was a problem for Timothy, right? And for me, as I mentioned earlier, it's insecurity. That word was insecurity for me when I read that over. And insecurity as a leader, feeling like everything that I had done and said was wrong and that I was never going to be able to get there, right? And in that moment, God showed me how to fight against that and to fight against that and what he had given me and what he had done for me and who he had made me and what that means, right? And he showed me that you fight that with a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline that we have been given. So when we say power, right, we often, that is a word with a misconception, right? We talk about power a lot. Power can to us is control, right? It's being in charge. It's a superhero. It's physical strength. It's something like that, right? That is not the power we're talking about here. The power that he is talking about here is the boldness to proclaim Jesus in your life. It is the confidence that you have in him on who you are, and it is the endurance to fight those feelings through Christ. And so we have to have a boldness, we have to have a confidence in our faith that comes from trusting in God and the plan that he has for our life, right? And we as believers have a spirit in us that we can't even comprehend how powerful it is, and we get strength from that spirit to endure during these difficult times, right? And so if you actually look forward in 2 Timothy into chapter 2, he kind of walks through some of the examples of that power. He says, "Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all of these things." So he references a soldier, an athlete, a farmer, right? And what he's trying to do is point out people who have two things. One, they're committed to something bigger than themselves. Two, they're willing to sacrifice and endure for a greater goal. That is power. Understanding that it won't be every day, but that God will get you through that. And then when you understand that that spirit of fear was not given to us, that we have this power inside of us that was to endure these kind of things, to be confident and bold in our faith, then that theme builds on the next one, which is love. And often when you hear people preach on this verse, they really kind of focus on the first thing or the last thing. It's either all about your fears, right? Or it's all about your self-discipline. That's kind of where they go, right? But these things build on one another. If you don't get rid of that spirit of fear, the rest of it is not happening. But once you do and you understand the spirit that is in you that gives you power, then you are able to be bold and confident in the face of fear, anxiety, worry, insecurity, stress, all of those things. And you have that tackled, and then you're confident in who you are to live out your purpose and reflect Jesus to a lost and dying world. To show them, stop if you have heard this before, that they are loved and highly valued. So love. Love also has a lot of different misconceptions and things in this world. But first, love is a fruit of the Spirit, right? It is evidence of the Spirit living in you. It says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It is evidence of the Spirit living in you. Secondly, it is an identifier of a follower of Jesus. John 13:35 says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." And then thirdly, love is central to who God is and what we are commanded to do. Mark 12:30 says, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. This is a kind of love we are not able to produce on our own, especially in a difficult, dark world that we live in right now. And there's a lot of, like I said at the beginning, but there's a lot of noise out there that sometimes it's hard to love through at times. But again, if we cast out those fears and stresses and anxieties, we lean into the power of the Spirit that we've been given, then we are able to produce that kind of love. I mean, Paul is telling Timothy in a letter from prison, put there by a world that hates him, that he knows that in Timothy's life and ministry, people will dislike him, dislike his message, and dislike his leadership at times, and dislike his God. But he has the power and the strength to love them anyway. And that's what we are called to do. Biblical love. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude, except on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. I did the you don't have a screen thing. Okay. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, and is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Power and love go hand in hand. You need strength to love and love to endure. They work together and they build on one another, and we grow in them to be able to cast those kinds of things out. Real things that every one of us is doing. I promise you there is no one in this room so confident that they have never felt one of those things before. and felt the pain and the issues that come from them, right? So when we have power and when we have love, then we enter into this word of self-discipline. Now, this word's a little weird, and here's why. There's actually not a really good English translation for that word from what the original word was. So generally, if you read this verse, no matter what version you're reading it from, you're going to see fear, you're going to see power, you're going to see love. This word, you could see self-discipline, you could see sound mind, you could see self-control, you could be sensible, good judgment, sound judgment, control ourselves. All of those things are used in different translations and versions of this specific scripture. But practically speaking, this is about maturity. More specifically, spiritual maturity. This is about investing time into your relationship with God. And tell me if you haven't heard that from someone up here in the last couple of months, really, right? Because it's that important, right? We are so glad you are here at church. We are so much more glad that it goes with you. And that you're pouring into yourself out there and you're allowing God to be in your life and to reject a spirit of fear or stress or anxiety. Not waiting till Sunday so that Pastor Drew can preach that away, right? You're handling that yourself with the spirit that is in you. And then you have the power and the love to not just endure that, but to help others through it. You can only do that if you invest that time in your relationship with God, right? That is what will help you cast away the fears, anxiety, stress, insecurity, harness the strength that God has given us, and love, which can only be experienced through God, and then be confident in what you are doing in that, right? Because confident is also a word that gets misconstrued as kind of cocky. That's not what we're talking about. Being who God made you to be is not another way of saying it's just who I am. Because if the way you are isn't willing to be bold for God and loving to yourself and others, then that is your choice, not our God. And many of us struggle with that. We struggle with just saying, well, it's just how I am. That's not okay. That doesn't come from God. If you have not changed over the time of spending time and building a relationship with God, I would challenge the time you are spending with him, because it changes your lives. And Pastor Drew tells us all the time, but if we're not making time with God and closeness to God a priority, we're missing out on a lot of the things that he has for us. And I know. There's a ton of stuff going on, right? We all have jobs. We all have kids. We all have all of these kind of things going on. But you have the same amount of time as everybody else. So you either make it or you take it. Those are the choices. You don't have to connect with God the same way or the same schedule that I do or anybody else in here does. We're all uniquely wired, and you connect with God in whatever your way is. That's fine, but we have to make time to connect to God. So how about we start giving God back some of his time and see what it does for our fears, anxieties, stresses, and insecurities in our life? How about we give God some of his time back and see how bold we'll be the next time the opportunity comes to share him with somebody? How about we give God some of his time back and we feel the Spirit moving in us to love others in all aspects of our lives? How about we give God some of his time back and actually start living with the rest of the time that we have, right? So when I read this verse, which I do very often, and I talked at the beginning of how it really just changed my life over time, I think a lot of like looking in a mirror, affirming myself, right? Like, our wonderful first lady, Kristen, one time said to me, there are power in your words. And so I will say this verse to myself in the mirror sometimes to start my day, right? And when I first read it, I even thought of like, has anybody ever seen Daily Affirmations with Stuart Smalley? No? Yes? Okay, you have? Okay. All right, another one. This one's probably more known. Has anybody ever seen the movie Cool Runnings? Okay. So when I first read this verse, that was like what immediately popped in my mind, right? There's this scene in Cool Runnings where Junior is with Yul Brynner, all right? And they're in a restaurant, and somebody's making fun of Junior. So they go into the bathroom, and Yul Brynner, you can tell by his name, kind of a big, tough guy. Junior, you can tell by his name, you know, not. And so they go into this bathroom, and he says to him, look in the mirror. What do you see? And he says, I see Junior. He says, let me tell you what I see. And he says, I see pride. I see power. I see a bad dude that don't take no crap from nobody. And he says, you see all that? And he says, and Yul Brynner says to him, it's not about what I see. It's about what you see. So tell me what you see. And he looks in the mirror again, and Junior says, I see pride. Okay. I see power. He says, yes. And I see a bad mamma jamma that don't take no crap from nobody. He said, say it again. And he gets louder and louder and louder till he believes it, and he storms out of that bathroom. And then he does start a fight, but he's confident in himself, right? For that moment, he saw who he really was. Not this young man who had been belittled and treated poorly by his family and talked down to, and the stress and anxiety of going to the Olympics as a Jamaican bobsled team, whatever it might be, right? In that moment, he saw who he truly was. And we have the power to do that when we speak these things to ourselves as well. So here is our exercise. Let's pull out our phones. Pull out your phone. Everybody's got a phone. I didn't have time to buy little baby mirrors, or I would have done that. Pull out your phones. You all have them. If I hadn't asked you to pull out your phone, you'd be on it anyway. Everybody, pull your phone out. I know we all have them. Children, act like you have phones. It's fine. Some of you already had. Now, go to your camera, if you will. All right, hang on. It's fine. Some of you, when you went to your camera, were already in selfie mode. Selfish. But it's okay. Flip it to selfie mode for me real quick. We're gonna act like this is a mirror for us, right? Right? So, look, this is the... I don't know why people take selfies. It's the worst angle of everyone, anyone ever, in any place, all right? I apologize. For gentlemen of my carriage, I don't look good in a selfie, okay? All right. So, what I want you to think about for just a moment. What is that spirit of blank for you? It's something for everyone. For me, it's insecurity and who I am as a leader, as a dad, as a husband, as a friend. It's all of those things. For some people, it's fear. For some people, it's stress. For some, it's anxiety. We all have something that creeps in every once in a while and impacts us. Think of what that is. And then we are going to talk to ourselves. And I'm going to say, God has not given me a spirit of blank. You're going to say it with me, but fill in what your blank is. And then finish saying this with me, all right? Everybody good? Everybody got the cameras? Are we all in selfie mode? Ready to go? Good? I need you to be loud, okay? So you're going to repeat after me, but just in that one spot, interject your own thing. God has not given me a spirit of blank. Look at yourself. Don't look at me. Say that. But one of power, love, and self-discipline. Today, I will reflect Jesus to the world with my actions and show them they are loved and highly valued. I want to challenge you to do that for... Oh, you're done. You don't have to repeat me, but thank you. Okay. I want to challenge you to do that for the next couple mornings, right? And here's the deal. It will never be as corny and uncomfortable as it just was. So go ahead and do it. It will be fine at home by yourself in the mirror. But go home, and every morning for the rest of this week, I want you to start your morning by looking in that mirror. Take 10 deep breaths. I even heard you should brush your teeth with the opposite hand than you normally do because it resets your mind in some weird way, right? And then I want you to look in the mirror and I want you to say that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but one of power and love and self-discipline. And today, I will reflect Jesus to the world with my actions and show them that they are loved and highly valued. And I promise you, if you do that every morning, you will rewire your mind and have the power to go out and reflect Jesus to this world. Let me pray for you. Father, we're so thankful this evening to spend some time together, to spend some time with you, to spend time worshiping, and then spend time in your presence. And as we sit in this room, a room full of flawed people, a room full of people who don't always get it, a room full of people with fears and stresses and worries and anxieties and thoughts about ourselves and thoughts about what other people think about us and all of these different things that we allow to weigh us down, that we would leave here tonight knowing that is not the spirit that you have for us. That is not your spirit speaking to us. That is not who we are or what you have meant for our lives, but that we would leave here encouraged and confident in the power and love that we receive from your spirit, and that we will pursue you more than ever before, so that we are prepared to proclaim your name with boldness, be confident in who we are, and love this world even when it is difficult to do. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, AJ. Hey, can we give AJ a hand? Yeah. I will just take just a moment and encourage you to be at church this Sunday. We're going to wrap up our time in the book of Daniel. You may have heard of this story. You may not have. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel goes to the zoo to play with some lions, some kitty cats. Shekiah thought that was really funny. But I think it's going to be a fun day. We're also taking up our shift offering at the end of our service. Yes, come on. We can celebrate being able to do that. Just a lot happening this Sunday, and I want to encourage you to be here. Be in prayer, not just for what the Lord would have you give, although that's very important, but also that God would just continue to provide for us as a church. I mean, had you told me this time last month at our first Wednesday service that we would be in this building and that I would be praying for the rain to stop so that Christy Cole didn't get wet in the back there, I wouldn't have believed you. I'd have been like, you crazy. But here we are. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen. One more time, I want to pray for you. Father, thank you for the amazing time we had in worship together. Thank you for the incredible word that AJ has given us, this reminder from from the scriptures that tells us to not let fear have any place in our life, but to walk in our God-given identity, in love, in the power that comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit, and a mind that, Lord, is not controlled by external circumstances, but by the internal influence of your Holy Spirit. Let us go forth into this world as ambassadors for Christ in all that we say, all that we do, and even all that we think. We love you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Lifehouse. We'll see you this Sunday.